Yes, hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Consciousness Podcast. So today we have here Gwendolina. How do you say your name?
Gwendolina, that's perfect, yes.
Gwendolina. Harrison.
Mm.
So we've been talking about doing this for quite some time.
Indeed, yes, we have. And finally, it's come to pass.
Yes. So we will dive into everything that we are interested here. Interested. And your unique experience into all of these areas of frequency work.
Yeah.
So decentralization is a big part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us about yourself from like a decentralized perspective, how your life have been unfolding?
That is a very unique question.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just expand on your definition of decentralized? Because it is a term that I have heard many times, but I'm not really, I don't know, familiar with. Like, I'm not, I haven't really thought about my life from that perspective, to be honest. So maybe
I put
you
on the spot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's new, but I just feel I think if you could expand on what you mean by decentralized, because I know it's like a buzzword, but I'm, when you say that, I'm like, I'm not so in relation to that word, I would say, which is maybe I am more than I realize, but yeah.
So it's about sovereignty and the uniqueness of each individual. So during the Dark Ages, mm-hmm. we've been stuck in like leader roles and follower
mm-hmm.
roles.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come out and you become like a spiritual person, mm-hmm. the first thing you do, okay, am I a follower or am I maybe a leader?
Mm-hmm.
So in the spiritual communities, you have these followers and leaders.
Okay.
But as we move further into our own evolution,
mm-hmm.
we realize that we are all one and that we are all equals.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having a leader that we're following,
mm-hmm.
We just become sovereign and free.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are able to follow our own inner guidance instead of listening to people outside of us.
Okay, yeah, that makes that kind of that lands a lot more. So I feel like there's so many things that I could say, but the thing that pops up as a place to begin was I spent so much of my life searching and feeling as though there was more to this reality than I was experiencing. And like many children and young people, just feeling like everything was off and like way off. And yeah, just as I was kind of growing up through life, through this world, in a very like open-minded family, I would say, by most standards. My mother was a Buddhist and my dad was very philosophical, and my mother was a homeopath and my father was also very artistic. And so there was, in lots of ways, I was really exposed to alternative experiences and ways of living. But what I also realized in that was, in these, say in a Buddhist meeting, for example, I could feel how everyone was really, really still very messed up, like extremely messed up. And so I kind of didn't trust, or I didn't feel like there was any alignment or coherence with the spiritual world necessarily, or the conventional world that most of us are familiar with. And so while I went on a lot of deep journeys exploring different forms of healing, dance, breath work, different ceremonial experiences from a very young age, I still just felt like everything was fairly, any breakthrough or any deeper connection with what felt closer to my truth of who I really was just didn't stick or last. So I feel like I've had a really big, extensive journey of exploring spirituality and what some people might call sovereignty, or trying to find sovereignty or wake up or awakening, and often found actually more distortion, like more compounded levels of distortion. And it wasn't actually until I discovered Masajadi, which is how we have both become connected, that I realized that it was ultimately my the distortions and the distorted filters and programming in my higher self that was blocking me from really stepping into and experiencing and being sustained by my pure presence. So yeah.
And now you're living like a sovereign lifestyle, would you say?
I would say that so far it's been going in levels and layers, where I will have a deep release of some distorted programming, especially, you know, that's held in the human consciousness around sacrifice, say, or control. And then feel very sovereign and very, what's the word? I guess contained and complete within myself. And yeah, liberated. I will feel liberated. And then the next level will happen at some point. And that will, I guess that where I would say my sovereignty really lies is in the ability to now move through the layers in a way that strengthens me rather than creates more distortion or gets me stuck in a loop. You know, that's what I've come to realize has become where my power really lies, because I think for a long time I felt like I just needed to be clear and then everything would be fine. And now there's more of a sense of safety, I think, of just really feeling like my spirit has my back and there's a deeper level of trust. So I don't necessarily, I don't know. It's interesting. It's really interesting.
Yeah, so it's like when we break free from society, cultural conditioning, and friend stuff. We enter this other earth, you could say, where everything is frequency based. So if it's not attachment based, like holding on to people that we ended up with, and we let go of that, it becomes so much like a video game, or it becomes so frequency based. So every person you meet has a deeper meaning, has a deeper connection. It's like no coincidences who you end up with.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that that I experience, I'm much more aware of experiencing frequencies before anything else. And if anything, that just creates more stillness for me and less of a need to move. there's just a real appreciation for the intelligence that has already created so much beauty that's in constant recreation, and that I am also that, you know. So I feel like that's my, or at the moment anyway, especially being spending so much time in nature at the moment, and like right now I'm looking out at the ocean and Africa, and I feel like I can just sit for hours just gazing, and it's not, I wouldn't even say like absorbing my own spirit, because it's I'm always absorbed in it, but there's a, it just amplifies the experience. And I think the more I allow myself to do that, the more that kind of informs and reflects in what I create and how I move through life, you know, and the choices I make. Without, I think for a long time I was looking to my higher self to give me the answers, which was still sort of a form of giving my power away, which I think a lot of spiritual teachings kind of can get caught up in. And
Can you give an example of that for our listeners?
I think my exposure to the idea of the higher self was that it was very much an idea of a frequency and an entity as something that's out, kind of outside of me, sort of inside of me, that knows everything and is, if I hand my power over to it, it will create a different life for me. Which in some ways it kind of did, but I didn't realize that I didn't realize that there was also distortions running within my higher self that would still dictate extreme sacrifice, say. And so when I realized that if I didn't give my power away to my higher self, but acknowledge that my higher self is actually creating every single experience that I'm having in every single moment, however I perceive it, it can only be my higher self creating it. And then I focused more on like really, I've really started to focus much more on my body and releasing the distortions, allowing my body to inform me of the distortions that my higher self was resonating. And releasing them, then it naturally, my higher self was just is there. Like I don't need, well, I guess I'm merged with my higher self. It didn't become something I needed to communicate with, more just allow the space for myself to really embody it. So yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It's like it can become like something that you need to tame or control, or that you identify with your higher self, and you need to control the body So it becomes that duality within ourselves.
Yeah, it still amplifies a duality for sure. Yeah. And I think I'd always learnt in all my explorations with spirituality, I'd always learnt that my higher self was already awakened. Or that was kind of how it was portrayed. It's like, you know, and when I realized that my higher self is not awakened. If it was, this would not be happening. For example, So I guess it's just started to relate to my higher self more as I was going to say more as a friend, but even closer than that, as you know, as if it is, or it already is me, but I'm not going outside of myself to find it. There was still this sense of it being above me, or you know, whatever. Still outside of me somehow.
Yeah, so the external reality is created by our higher self. So if we then just like pay attention, and we are treat every event, every encounter, every space that's already created for us in the perfect way.
Yeah.
And that's it. But
well, yeah, and it's created perfectly to reflect back to you what you can, may or may not want to let go of.
Yeah. To showing us our limitations. And then learning to work with the people, learning to work with the environment is the school.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I realized that a big part for me as well was I had a huge guru complex, like I needed a guru, kind of. I ran the frequency where I needed a guru. it was a really big learning for me to, maybe that's why when you said decentralize at the beginning, I was like, what? And even
yeah,
when
this
you said,
is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Even when you said sovereignty, I was a bit like, what? Because I went through quite a long period of my life where I was spending so much time with, say, gurus and teachers that were talking about sovereignty, and actually they ended up being some of the most distorted people that I spent time with. So I think I have a little bit of a I disassociate a little bit with some of the, you know, buzzwords that are used in the awakening space, just simply because I've known them to not really be used in such a healthy way. So I think, yeah, I just stepped away from a lot of that.
And the same can happen with unconditional love. Some have sort of reactions towards this because teachers they used in the past talked about unconditional love.
Yeah,
but they were sort of holding them in this power grip in that.
It's like there was so much control woven in with the words of, you know, the descriptions of certain things that, I've had to take a lot of time away from the sort of typical spiritual communities. And to be honest, I'm not... once I stepped away, I haven't had much of a desire to re-enter them in any big way. Like I still, if things happen naturally or, you know, spontaneously occur, but I don't identify with a lot of those things anymore.
Yeah, and this is actually the decentralization process that I'm talking about.
I see.
Because I had a similar experience, like, so my first multidimensional teacher, he was like amazing abilities. And so I was part of that community for like 10 years. And we were working with all these extraterrestrial races and gods and angels and everything. But then I left, you know, but it was not because I didn't love them, I didn't respect them, but it's just, it felt like just a loop going like round and round, and like everyone having the same filters to interpret all the information. So it was, whatever happens, it just fitted into the group worldview somehow. So then I had a time when I was really like alone, like a lone wanderer. And then slowly I learned how to sort of be part of groups without becoming obsessed with them. And this is how I see the decentralization process. Sometimes you're like stuck in an organization until you get fed up with it. And then you start exploring from a more, like, your center is in yourself, and then you just dip your toes into different groups, or you can connect with them. But it's not about belonging to a group anymore. It's just like learning from equals.
Yeah, and it's reminding me actually, which I mentioned earlier, about how I grew up with my mum being Buddhist, and a big part of what they, I'll say worshipped. I'm sure they wouldn't call it worship, but how they worshipped was chanting. So there was I spent a lot of time in our family home, just filled with the sound of like lots of people chanting. And one of the things that I sort of had to really decentralize myself from was how, even though I grew up in what was maybe seen as quite a spiritual environment, there was actually so much fear and desperation and trauma and abuse in these people and my mother, that all that was happening was they were using this tool of mantra chanting to amplify their distortions. And so I was kind of marinated growing up in a lot of people desperately trying to release their distortions while simultaneously just throwing them around. And I think that's been a big, just going on to music and healing and using my voice, that's been a big part of my process, is learning how to use my voice, or learning how to connect with my voice from a pure frequency perspective, and recognizing and really listening and feeling where my frequencies are coming from, where the frequency my voice is resonating at. Even as I'm saying this, I can feel my voice changing because my awareness is on it more. And so while that experience for many, it was years, you know, most of my childhood until I was, all of my childhood till I was 17. While that embedded a lot of like really, well, a lot of trauma on a frequency level for me, because I couldn't get away from it. And a lot of these people were, you know, just in extreme levels of distortion. When I started to wake up, I then realized that all of this experience that I had of marinating in other people's distortions and not being able to find myself and feeling like I didn't have my own voice or my own frequency and et cetera, I found that I was able to use that experience and any of the ways that it impacted me to clarify my own frequency and clarify my own voice and take any of the good things that I could from it, but also release anything that didn't, would leave lasting damage if I didn't release it. So, yeah, I had quite a lot of quite a lot of experience with spirituality done the wrong way. Should I say?
Yeah, so a big focus of mine now is to just connect to more and more of the people living within the, I call it like crystalline grid.
Okay.
So it's like you have like the matrix grid, which mm-hmm. is then attachment based,
mm-hmm.
and where they do like the people in your house, they just amplify distortions.
Mm-mm.
Even if they go to some classes 2 times per week, mm-hmm. because they are inside these fixed structures where they're behaving the same,
mm-mm.
they're just amplifying the same.
Mm-mm.
And now, from my perspective, the planet is changing a lot, and mm-hmm. many, many more people are accessing this crystalline network where mm-mm. where you just surf around and you're just carried by the universe mm-hmm. to different mm-hmm. it's yeah. like your house is inviting the right people with the right frequencies
mm-hmm.
and because this is the future, and this is what I will be doing the rest of my life. Is it's a little bit like the magical layer of the earth
mm-hmm.
so it's like the planet has this frequency ranges.
Mm.
People live within these different frequency ranges.
Mm.
And for a long time I was sort of occupied with the lower densities,
mm-hmm.
Trying to wake people up, you know, mm. or trying to help people.
Mm.
But the last years it's just like, no, I think we had enough of that time, and now I'm focusing on the people that have already woken up.
Mm.
And to build things with them and to experience things with this. Because mm. When we meet like this, we are consciously co-creating new things, like mm. with creativity. Mm. We are not repeating old identities,
mm-hmm.
but we are really like living in the epicenter of co-creating the new planet. That's mm. how I feel.
Mm.
So how can you... describe what's the difficulties with this to break free, because I know you had a long journey with many different twists and turns.
Your question was cutting out. I couldn't quite hear what you said.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about how you broke free from these matrix structures, like to be real, because it's mm-hmm. it's not easy, you know. Many people are still struggling
yeah.
to break out of it
mm-hmm.
and then I think it's both for us that we have broken out of it mm-hmm. we need to become more used to it mm-hmm. start collaborating more on this higher level mm-hmm. of consciousness.
Yeah.
So it's like before it was like, oh, you can find this higher level of consciousness. Now it's like, okay, we're there. Like, what will mm-hmm. we do now?
Yeah.
If you see my perspective, if we can talk mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, I am. Well. Sorry. I know I just asked you to repeat the question. Could you repeat the question one more time?
I tried to say many questions.
Only because my boyfriend has just come back, and so I just want to let him in the house so he can go into the other room, and then I'll, otherwise he's gonna freeze his ass off because it's starting to get cold. So just one second.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
Good.
Sorry,
Okay,
yes.
so let me rephrase this so to help you to come into
was starting to like, I was, yeah, I was starting to zone out, but also he arrived, so I got distracted. Okay.
Yeah, we could take a break. We could take some breaths.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the question is coming in more clearly now. Because it was like a feeling, I wanted to get to a feeling and then I was using different words. So you were saying that you're now with your boyfriend and now he's leaving and you don't know what to do. And this is like a typical situation that we come to when we let go of the loops and we actually start living in flow, we come to these places where we need to separate from people, or we might go with them. And the neutrality is so big. I mean, I don't know your boyfriend, but it's like it's not the trust that to stay together forever that builds you. It's the trust that he will follow his path and you will follow your path. And I think this is a very big difference from how we used to operate as humans when we were looking for safety on the outside. So now we have the safety inside and we are navigating the world from our heart, not depending on certain people and certain places.
Yeah,
So could you
and
talk
also
about that process?
yeah, I was going to say also like following what feels like the most expansive frequency.
Yeah.
So, and that seems to be where my focus ends up landing more and more often is, yeah, really allowing myself to just observe from all the possibilities that I can sense and not sense, because I won't necessarily be aware of all of them, what feels like my most expansive next step without holding on to and being attached to what the step will be after that. Because I think for so long I needed a guarantee of what steps follow steps. Whereas now I try to really just look at what's in my immediate realm of possibilities and just drop in and feel, okay, what feels like my most expansive possibility? And often that makes it so much easier to follow because it feels almost like your spirit's already there, like welcoming you into that space.
Yeah.
And there can then also be fears that come up, or distortions, or patterns, or you go into your head, or whatever it is. But one of the biggest things for me has been learning to and reprogramming myself to stay in the observer as much as possible and recognize when I'm not in the observer. And in observing that in itself, and I find that helps a lot of these, anything that needs to be released to kind of just fall away, because I find the more I'm able to observe any discomfort or fear of abandonment or fear of attachment or whatever it is, it doesn't have such a hold. And so then that makes it even if, you know, it doesn't mean there aren't difficult decisions or things that feel challenging, but there's this sense of knowingness and trust within myself that I am taken care of no matter what. And so that having that as a baseline makes it much easier to move into those spaces that feel more expansive and not step into the spaces that don't feel expansive, even if on the surface they look like the best thing ever, you know, if people would see that opportunity or possibility and think you'd be crazy not to do that or whatever. I'm just really trusting the underlying frequencies above all else, you know, which was a big part of training. I had to retrain myself to I say train myself, that sounds a bit intense. It's what it was intense, but more honor the fact that everything is frequency based, and so that's where my attention, it will serve me best to hold my attention there. Yeah,
because it is basically opposite against how we used to live.
Exactly, it is the opposite. Yeah.
Listening to fears and doing the safe thing and going for belonging and and then to retrain this. And sometimes it's the same direction as we thought, but many times it's not.
Yeah, and also, you know, if it is the same thing that you may expect or would even be expected to do by society, shall we say, I'm able to engage with it in a very different frequency. And not take on any underlying frequencies of control or sacrifice or domination or whatever, you know, whatever the dominant frequencies that most people are engaging with. So yeah, I'm not sure if that answered your question, but that was what.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was great, and because I'm so interested in this now, and it's like, so we have all these people like us. Mm-hmm. And I just see it like decentralized, because everyone is like sovereign, following their own intuition and inner guidance. And then we just meet up randomly. And it just feels so aligned, you know, it's the synchronicities and all these things. Mm-hmm. And then you're, okay, now you're supposed to be with this person or these people for like a few weeks or a few months. Mm-hmm. And this is just like how it's organically unfolding, like the universe. And then to figure out, so what are we doing here with these people? And it's not often what you thought it was about. Like you say, the frequency first, it's like many times when we come together with people, it's just that the frequencies needs to align between those souls or something like that. It doesn't mean that we need to create a project or do something long term. Sometimes it's just being authentic with each other is enough. And the rest is just happening under the hood, so to speak.
Yeah.
You're learning some templates, or you're learning some infrastructure, energetic infrastructure that we've forgotten from the past. It's just unlearning the matrix behaviors and just being our true self together with others. This seems to be the focus now. But do you think that we are also building things like that? Yeah, I mean, you could say it like Source or Mother Earth is like bringing together these people at the right times. It feels so organic, like the mycelium network. But how do you see this developing into the future when more and more people live like this?
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, while you were speaking, I was seeing this image of just how the more attuned we become with nature frequencies and our own, our true nature frequencies, the more synchronistic and symbiotic, the more our actions and thoughts and behaviors and creations will reflect the way that nature behaves. And so it feels like often there isn't really a, there isn't really a clear picture of how a plant is growing, for example, or how the tide is impacting the sand. And yet there's something so beautiful just in the very fact that it's happening.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more I or we really allow ourselves to connect with our essence in that way, rather than needing to fix, heal, or change, or save the world, or whatever it is, the more we will naturally, just in the like food that we create, or the conversations we have, or the well, just in the frequency that we will be resonating at, will be joining in with the reharmonization of the planet, which is happening anyway. It's just some of us are more sensitive to it, and for whatever reason, past lives or whatever, wake up to it more. You know, some people are early risers, some people wake up early,
yeah,
and kind of get things moving. So I mean, I don't really have a clear picture of how things are going to evolve, but I feel as though time and time again I'm brought back to seeing how resilient nature is, how connected nature is, how purifying nature is, in the sense that, yeah, it's not free from distortion, but the distortion is always used for benefit, and nothing goes to waste, and it comes out purer the other side, you know. And all of those processes are happening simultaneously, and I feel like the more I'm in sync with that within myself and my environment, then the life I create will happen in that flow, or is happening in that flow, and reflect that. And so yeah, I don't really have any expectation of how that's going to look, but I was thinking of how when, you know, when I often, when I'm making food, I feel very enhanced by the experience, and when I eat the food, I feel even more enhanced by the experience. And when I'm feeling drawn to create music, I know I'm in the right frequency when I'm doing it, because I feel more enhanced, as if my natural essence is getting amplified as I'm doing it. And so I think the more people allow themselves to create whatever it is in a way that enhances their essence, that's just going to amplify and support the process more. You know.
Yeah, I found that like a few years ago, it was more like doing exercises together and like actively trying to heal things. But now, when I meet these people, it's just to be my true self. It's enough. It's like the frequency is just carrying everything, and whatever I feel like doing, it's correct, it's right. And
yeah, but I think that goes back to when you really make underlying frequencies the priority and the focus. When, you know, I know when I started to make my own underlying frequencies my priority, then I mean, I went through all kinds of insane, intense transformations that I honestly, there were points that I thought, I'm not surprised most people don't do this. because it was not, I mean, there's not even really words to describe some of the things that I went through, and that's maybe another conversation. But so there were times when it felt like maybe I was, you know, like, why am I doing this to myself? But it was like on some level, my spirit had locked in and was like, no, we are getting this stuff out of you so that your true essence has a chance. Like, you know, like a seed being planted in the ground is like, it's gonna have a chance. It's like, we're gonna let this blossom this lifetime, you know?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And I definitely feel like when you make your...
So it's like physical reality becomes like so unimportant compared to the frequencies. So it's like your consciousness just locks in that this is the truth. It's frequency first and simulation second.
Yeah.
And then so your simulation, you just allow it to show up anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you're locked into that frequency version of yourself.
Yeah, and you also like observe, you know, and a lot of the frequencies not so much now, but you know, a lot of the frequencies I would observe within myself would be, you know, if I wasn't observing and I didn't kind of have a deeper understanding that it was a necessary part of the process, I would have easily kind of shut down or been disturbed by some of the stuff that I had to observe releasing in me or out of me. But at the same time, it was like it's worth it. It's worth it, and it's time, and there's just not really any other option for me for whatever reason, you know. And I don't think everyone's necessarily in that position. But for me, it was very much, you know, I signed up to the, I don't know, SAS boot camp or whatever of spiritual frequency transformation without, you know, fully realizing what I was getting myself into. But at the same time, when I would move through a level, everything would just feel so in place and so aligned, and there would be a sense of remembering, you know, a deep soul spirit sense of, oh yeah, wait, this, I know this is how it's meant to be, okay, so I'll do what I have to do and I'll keep going.
Yeah, it's really like you can really feel this like before and after. So it's this distorted structure within your soul, and then you need to experience something bad from a human experience, but then afterwards it's like something has completely shifted your blueprint, and the external reality just shifts and just shows you this new,
and I think
this becomes quite concrete.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of the patterning of coming to realize that actually, in the same way nature does, you can use anything to your benefit, even if, no matter how, you know, so you don't obviously go looking for unpleasant things anymore because you'd have no need to. Mm-hmm. But as challenges arise or uncomfortable feelings or whatever it may be, there's this sense of, like, okay, whatever comes my way or whatever is part of my journey to grow and align more and wake up, you know, more, I know I can not only get through it and come out the other side stronger, it's like they'll be, you know, the shit will become nutritious instead of just waste.
Yeah.
So now
it becomes like fuel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's maybe a better. Yeah. Yeah. So then you become a lot more fearless around experiences because it's like, well, yeah, I can't control how I'm going to move through life 100% yet, or because they say if you're 100% awakened, you wouldn't be able to be in a body, as an example. But there's just this sense that however things unfold, not only you'll be okay, you have the programming now to be able to use it to strengthen and prepare, as fuel to propel you forward.
So, And this non-linear feeling, have you been, it's just like cyclical. And so you have the linear time, it sort of fades away, it's still there, but it's the cyclical nature of just finding yourself in these places, and it's like a separate movie, you could say.
And it's kind of experiencing the movie as the actor, the director, the producer. And realizing that you can, that part of being empowered is being able to choose what perspective you take, that you can control the perspective.
Yeah, and that everything has an end also. Because in a linear sense, you could see, you could have like stuff going on for like months. But in this cyclical, it's like everything just arises and disappears, arises and disappears. It's like no waves, constant. So even if you have problems, or it's not like there are constant problems, constantly nagging. It's just waves or like echoes of of solutions slowly coming into place. This is what I think it's so amazing, that I can feel so peaceful wherever I am, even though it could be some linear problems or something like that. But the peace, connectedness, so close.
And I mean, I think that's the pricelessness of the experience here. When you find that peace, it's very difficult for anything to really disturb you on a deep level.
And this feeling of co-creation with the source. Like, I still see source as something external. But I often see it like my essence and source just like flowing together and resting into that feeling of everything is being co-created.
Yeah, and I suppose when I was saying earlier about the higher self being external, I mean, in some way, my experience has been that in some ways it is, but what really made the shift for me was when I realized maybe it is external, but it's also internal. It's not one or the other. No, it's not. There's no kind of, the only differentiation is like the density of the resonance in terms of then how it's perceived.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about densities. For me, this is a big... So to have different places and different densities where you can feel your body shifting to a different density when you come there. And then same with people. And so I think our bodies are relearning how to navigate densities. and to not be stuck in any density, to not avoid any density, but to fluctuate or to flow between different densities. You meet someone, you know, like magically on a beach, and then you're in a very high density. Your body feels like it can fly, you know. And then you're walking somewhere and you come into a very low density.
But also, I mean, I was thinking, I often do sessions with my mother. she's been a big part of my awakening journey. And one of the things that came through not too long ago was how there has to be I'm sure I've heard people talk about this before, but it came through in a level of clarity that I'd not experienced for myself, that to be here in this dimension in physical form, there just has to be a level of density for us to stay here. Like, it's a requirement. Like, you can't be here without a certain level of density. Or you can be here in spirit form, but you can't be here, you know, and like touch a table and your hands not go through it and all this kind of thing. But that in that programming, we've just gone so far into the density and given so many different meanings and filters and all sorts of things to density, that now a lot of it is just, well, it's just really unnecessary. it's not required for us to be here. So, and I think that's a big part of what's releasing from the planet and from people, on consciously or unconsciously, is on a spirit level, it's like, oh, I don't need to hold on to this to be here, you know? And so that probably will structurally change the human body and all these kind of things, but ultimately, like, density is a fascinating, beautiful thing, which is not only like a tool for how we're able to be here, but also how, as spirits, we're able to learn about this reality and about ourselves within this reality. And I was shown how density was originally designed, shall we say, as a tool to remind you of who you are. But somewhere along the line, humans started to use it to forget who they are, which is why it kind of spiraled down.
Yeah, it's the actions from my experience, like within the matrix, when you have like a problem and you double down on an old solution, it's like you drop one note into lower densities. And if we do it opposite, we have a problem and we just patiently wait for a solution to be brought to us in the fields, we're going up one note.
Or like, how can this help me remember more of who I am, you know, rather than how can this help me forget more of who I am?
Yeah,
because it's not only going up, it's also expanding outwards, right? It's also and brightening, you know. So that's something that I like to ask myself often now, I find myself asking more often, is like, oh, I wonder how this experience can help me remember more of who I am. But you can apply that to anything, right? It doesn't have to be a challenge. It can also be, you know, a perfect synchronicity. Still, how can that teach you more of who you are? Or remind you more of who you are.
Yeah, and this is it. Now we are remembering how we are these very different kind of spirit beings that are moving through life.
Yeah.
Getting to know them, getting to know ourselves.
Yeah.
So let's take some deep breaths and then we see if it's anything else we that wants to come through in this.
Sure.
If you want to guide me and the audience, you can do so also.
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's have a little check-in. So just taking a deep breath in. Noticing your body in the space that you're in. Noticing the position of your feet, the position of your hands. And taking a deep breath in from the base of your spine all the way up to the top of your head. And then just noticing the core of the earth, noticing how the core of the earth shows up to you, noticing how far away it feels or how close. And just taking a deep breath in from the core of the earth up through your pedestal and breathing your attention through your toes, your feet, your ankles, your calves, your knees. And as you continue to take deep breaths, just scanning and resting, moving your attention through your thighs, your hips and pelvis. Up into your abdomen. Up into your chest and torso, into your shoulders. And as you continue to take deep breaths, just scanning and moving and resting your attention through your shoulders, your armpits, your upper arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, hands and fingers. Now just taking a deep breath through the tips of your fingers. Breathing your power through the tips of your fingers, up through your hands, wrists, forearms, elbows, upper arms, shoulders, up into your neck and throat. Breathing your awareness and your power into your neck and throat. Up into your head and brain. And then just breathing your attention and your power down through your body. Down through your chest, your abdomen, your hips and pelvis, your thighs, knees, calves, ankles. And down out through your feet. Through the core, through the pedestal, down into the core of the earth. Hmm. And just following this breath pattern a few times, imagining breathing your power through the tips of your fingers, through your hands, wrists, up your arms, into your shoulders, neck and throat, up into the top of your head, and then breathing out down through your body, down through to the core of the earth. And just noticing the outline of your body. Noticing your internal environment within the outline of your body. And just taking a few deep breaths into your internal environment within the outline of your body. Noticing the frequency it's resonating at. Just observing. And on your next out-breath, expanding your attention and your awareness, arms length around, above and below you. Noticing this space between the outline of your physical body, arms length, and then the space arm's length around, above and below, and just noticing the outline of this space, arm's length around, above and below you. And just taking a deep breath into your body and your internal environment. And then breathing out into your immediate external environment. And this space, arm's length around, above and below you. Some people call this your spirit body. Your spirit space. Just noticing the frequency it's resonating at. And noticing your physical body, the physical representation of your spirit within your spirit body. And just noticing a part of your physical body that may need some extra attention and support. And just placing your hands on this part of your body. And breathing your power through your hands into the part of your body that is in need of some extra attention, some extra support. Inviting it to release anything. That is no longer needed. Inviting this part of your body to show you what it needs. And with your breath, inviting this part of your body to show you what it feels like to receive all that you need, all that it needs. Your breath, inviting this part of your body to share any messages that it has, that it would like to communicate and share with you. And while you continue to breathe and relax your awareness into this space, allowing any adjustments or realignments or releases. I'm going to use my voice to create some more healing frequencies to support and nurture the process. When you are ready, taking a deep breath in from the base of your spine up to the top of your head. Sending your attention down the outline of your body. To the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes. Noticing the position of your body, the position of your hands, the position of your feet. Noticing how you feel since we began this mini healing meditation and activation. When you are ready, open your eyes, wiggle your toes, bring your attention to the room that you are in and your body within the space that you are in.
Yeah, for me, this is wonderful how you take the lead, and I can just rest in your inspiration, in your creativity. And it feels like as soon as we start talking with words, the intelligence goes down.
Yeah.
But let's use a few words before we finish here. So I want you to include any links, send them to me so I can include them in the episode description.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will do that for sure. And I really felt when I started doing the meditation, I was like, yeah, we probably should have started with this. So I'm not attached to this, what, you know, everything that happened today being necessarily being used, and I would be quite happy to do it again, but start with a meditation, and then if that's all that happens, that's great, and then if we want to move into a conversation, then we can.
Oh, that's some interesting options you've given me. So I will feel into it and see what feels right.
Yeah, sure. But that was kind of what came through me, like as soon as I started, I was like, all the energy sort of just aligned and came through so clearly.
Yeah, sometimes with some people it's better to have like a conversation first and then to record when we are more synchronized. So it could be, but I think still this was an interesting conversation, so
I'm not saying either way, but either way, I feel like there was an opening to do another one where the focus begins with a healing and then seeing how it flows, doing it a different way. Because we just see. But I'd be interested to hear as well if you, how any experiences you had, if you want to share at any point.